Open your Bibles to, Genesis 15. Read what I believe God wants me to preach tonight. And I'll just try to say what He wants me to say, no more, no less. And let you go home, okay? Amen. Genesis chapter number 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. God began to prophesy and tell Abraham how he was going to bless him. And we know and believe and understand that's why God over there in Israel, all the fighting and everything going on over there, that's why that little piece of property over there, that the Palestinians don't have any right over that property. That's the property that God gave Abraham and promised his people, and those people ain't got no right to it. And God promised Abraham, and he said, only person in the Bible that the Bible said Abraham was God's friend. Wouldn't you like to be labeled that way, that God would look down from heaven and bring people and look over the banister and say, Look down yonder, that fellow there by the name of Jeff Griffith, that's a friend of mine. Wouldn't that be a blessing to have God look down and call you one of his friends? Amen. Well, I like that, don't you? God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, he said, it might not seem like it right now. He said, it might seem like you're never going to have an heir. It may seem like things ain't ever going to work out, but don't you look up at them stars and just, I want you to count them for me. Abraham might have been like a old redneck like me, but I doubt it. 18, 19, 45, 72, 394, I lost count, Lord. And he might have kept trying to count them. The Lord said, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You can't count them, and that's how I'm going to bless you. Here's what God's trying to tell Abraham. What I want to preach on tonight is this. It pays to serve God. It pays to serve God. I know we live in 2010, and it seems like, I know, Brother Shook, you'd agree, I'm not saying you're an old man, but we've been in it a few years, me and you and Brother Greer, I know you're only 39, but we've been in this a few years, and things are different than it was in 1979 or 1989 or 1999. It's harder to do church work, it's harder to preach, it's harder to do anything like that than it's ever been. And it seems like we're on the dirty end of the stick every time you turn around. And brother, if you're a Bible believing, if you're a King James Bible believing Christian, it seems like you are the odd man out. No matter what you do. And if you teach your kid old-fashioned values, and if you teach your kids to stay pure and do the right thing, people act like you're an idiot. And brother, it seems like sometimes the harder you preach and the harder you try to hold a standard and the more you wave the old bloodstained banner, sometimes it seems like the further behind you get. Is that not right? It seems like sometimes, honestly, it does. I told my wife one time, I said, honestly, as humanly speaking, it seems like it ain't doing a bit of good.
You're right, preacher.
Just be honest about it. Sometimes it seems like, it seems like you're preaching yourself literally to death. It seems like you're wearing your body out and your mind, and it seems like people are going the opposite way. People come to church and shout her out and swing from the chandeliers and leave saying, My God, I ain't never been in a service like that in my life. I ain't never seen God move like that. Oh, my, I ain't never seen it such a way, and won't come back the next night.
Right.
I ain't never seen nothing like it. I've seen people come to church on Monday night and it be blowing and a gun, and God sat down in that place and people say, Preacher, under God, I ain't seen it like that in 40 years. And you won't see them again for 2 weeks.
Right.
Don't make no sense. It's crazy, man. And I tell you, you can preach to folks and they know you're telling the truth, and they'll shout and hoop and holler and still go right out and do what you're trying to tell them not to do. And sometimes you just feel like it ain't doing a bit of good. I made this statement over at Brother Jeff's house today. I said, I know so many young people that's got out of church and quit church and got out in sin. I know so many young girls that's got pregnant. Listen, I'm not talking about slutty girls either.
Right.
I'm talking about church girls. I'm not like girls singing the choir and playing the piano and playing the guitar and playing the trumpet and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about good, godly Christian girls that got out with some stinking bum and got their life messed up.
You're right.
That's what I'm talking about now. And I'm talking about those boys that was in church doing like this preacher's boy up here singing, and brother down the road, get out of the will of God, and you lay in bed at night and toss and turn and say, where'd I go wrong? If I was a good pastor, they wouldn't have got out of church. Somewhere along the line I failed them. That's the way you feel, ain't it, preacher? You feel like a failure. Oh, but I'm going to tell you what, brother, that book said that day shall not come except there come a falling away.
Right.
We're seeing it unfold right before our very eyes. We're living in a day and time, brother, where if you just look at it humanly speaking, it just about don't even make sense to even go to church.
Give
them
truth, son.
Amen. What's the point? You go to church, nothing happens. You know, I mean, nothing happens. Nobody gets saved. Nobody shouts. Nobody ever sheds a tear. You leave just like you went. I mean, the church is dead, as cold as a block of ice, and most churches ain't growing. Most of them's going the other way.
You're right.
Most independent, Bible-believing Baptist churches, you know what I'm saying, the churches that are growing are the liberal churches that's got the rock bands and the worship leaders and got queers on the stage leading the church in worship. That's a fact, brother. That's what people's gravitating toward. And us preachers that's been killing ourselves trying to rescue the perishing and trying to keep young people out of hell. Our whole ministry sometimes, the devil will come up and say, why don't you just quit? Why don't you just give up? You're wasting your time. Oh, but I want to tell you, thank God, when that flame flickers and don't go out, there's a still small voice deep down in my soul that says it still pays to serve God. It pays to serve God. I said it pays to serve God. Amen. Glory to God, I feel like shouting. Amen. Well, glory to God. The devil tell you what's the point of even going. There ain't nothing going to happen. You used to be running 80, now you're running 40.
Yeah.
Amen. I know how it feels. Well, I've had churches growing so fast you didn't know where to put people. Now that I'm going down so fast, the new additions I had just about had turned into a chicken house. Amen. Honest to God, brother, our church is growing so fast. Recently we was thinking about buying another bus. Our bus was crammed full every service, and for the last 3 weeks it ain't moved out of the parking lot. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
I don't come here and act like some big-time preacher and brag on my church. I'm just telling the truth. Amen, brother. That's church work for you, brother. That's church work. That's the way it is, brother. I'll tell you, I heard a fellow tell me one time, he was what you call a lay preacher.
Yeah.
I guess that means you just lay around and preach when you take a notion, but he was a truck driver. He had a heart attack. He was having heart problems. He said, well, doctor said I couldn't drive a truck anymore. I'm going to have to... He said, I can't... My health won't let me drive a truck anymore. So I think what I'm going to do is just find me a little church somewhere to pastor. I said, you better drive two trucks, brother. Amen? You better stick a shotgun in your mouth. If you think pastoring the church is easy, you're about crazy. You're out of your mind, brother. I want to tell you, I've worked a lot of jobs, and every stinking one of them is easier than pastoring the church. I want to tell you, if you think it's easy, why don't you take on the job yourself for a while?
Yes.
Amen. That's good preaching right there, even if I am doing it. I want to say it pays to serve God. That's my introduction. It pays to serve God, number one. It pays to serve God in your conscience. I want to say, thank God this book says when you get saved and start walking with God, you'll have peace with God. The Bible said you'll have peace with God and you'll have the peace of God. I want to tell you, in 1978, I used to lay down at night and couldn't sleep. I used to get drunk just so I could fall asleep at night. I used to pop pills and drink liquor and smoke pot and all that stuff. Oh, but I want to tell you what, thank God since that night in November 1978, I found peace, brother. Thank God it pays to serve God.
Yes.
If nothing else, just in your conscience.
Yes.
I don't have to ride down the road
and see somebody pull up a driveway and wonder if that's somebody's husband trying to find me. I don't have to worry about if that's some girl I've been dating, if that's her daddy found out where I live. I don't have to worry about if that's somebody I cheated in a poker game. Thank God I got a clear conscience. You say, "Preacher, you don't look like much." I ain't much. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm just saying it pays to serve God. Just so you can lay your head on that pillow at night and close your little eyes and say, "Thank God, it is well, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is not well with my body. It ain't well with my mind all the time. But thank God with my soul, it is as well, it is well. When peace like a river." Like the old song said, "Hey, brother, it is well with my soul." Thank God. I'm glad to tell you tonight, it pays to serve God in your conscience. The peace of God moved into my heart one day. And I've had a clean conscience. Not only that, but I'll tell you this. I'll tell you something else. It pays to serve God in your countenance. Some people, I don't know if they're saved or not, because I never smile.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right?
Yeah. How you doing, brother?
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Yeah. You ever been out knocking on doors and they started to get somebody to track and they thought, "I got one. I'm already saved." Dear God. Hey, man, if somebody gives me a check, you know what I do? I just mess with them a little bit. I had some people talk to me the other day. They didn't know I was the pastor for 30 minutes. They said, "The pastor must not be home." I said, "Really? What are you looking for him for?" I had on bib overalls. I just pretended to be an old drunk, and I just stood there and talked a while. let them witness to you. Hey, listen, brother, it pays to serve God in your conscience and in your countenance. I'm trying to tell you, the Bible said, "Happy is that people." There isn't such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Stephen, he was lit up like a light bulb. Moses come down off the mountain, and brother, his face did lighten like the sun. And brother, when you get along with God, you're being lit up just the same. It pays to serve God in your countenance. Amen. You get right with God, you get hooked up just right, and people know it.
Sure.
Amen. In your countenance. Not only that, but number three, I'm going to move on. In your community, it pays to serve God in your community. Boy, it's a blessing. Brother Shuker, it's a blessing when people call you preacher. I like being called daddy. That's my favorite title, being called daddy. I like sweetie pretty good too. And honey, babe, all that junk.
I heard her.
Superman, all that stuff. But I like daddy awful good. Boy, I sure like when people call me preacher. People don't even know me. People at the paint store, they're at the hardware store, they're at the feed store, people at the grocery store, people don't even know. Hang on, preacher. You know what that means? That means it shows up in your community, brother. That means it pays to serve God, brother. That means it's still there. It's still better to be saved, preaching, and pastoring the church than it is to be going around sucking on a beer can and smoking on a cigarette. Thank God I'd rather be preaching my lungs out and people look at me with a little bit of respect than to be known as a town drunk or a town fornicator. But it pays to serve God in your community. Amen. People drive by here, see that store. We used to buy beer there. I about to buy it on the road. That preacher there had to mess everything up. It shows in the community. That's right. It pays to serve God in the community. What did it say about Peter and John? They gave him a beating. They said, "Don't you be doing that. Don't be preaching in his name. And don't be doing those kind of things." They said, "They're ignorant. They're unlearned. But they've been with the Lord."
Yeah.
They ain't too smart. And they ain't too bright. They don't dot their I's and cross their T's. They ain't got THD and PhD and DD and all that stuff. But they've been with Jesus. Thank God, brother, it'll show up around the people you know, around the people down at the job, and people down at your school, and people in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Pays to serve God. You might not get a great big paycheck and a big bonus. The world may not pat you on the back. You might not get on American Idol, thank God. Nobody in the right mind would want that anyway. Pants on the ground, looking like a fool. I preached on that one Sunday. I did, I preached on that. Pants on the ground. Joe did. Title of my sermon was
World's biggest fool. Living like a fool with you. Amen. But I'm just trying to say, brother, it's still paying. It pays to serve God in your community. Listen, you know what I'm trying to say to you? Here's what I'm telling you. There is people in this community that's not even saved. They don't go to church, have no church affiliation. You know there's people in this community that'll die and they ain't got no church affiliation, no pastor. You know who they'll call? They'll call this preacher. They'll call this preacher's wife. And they'll say, we know we ain't got a church. We ain't got nobody to turn to. Will you help us? We ain't got nobody to bury grandma. What do? You try to help them. Of course you do. I mean, brother, that's what preachers do. That's what churches have been doing. I mean, brother, we've been taking advantage of for years. That's what we do. We always do it. But brother, listen, I'm just trying to say that we're being what we are. We're being what God is paying us. That's a payment. And it's being it's showing in our community.
Yes, sir.
People think enough of you to call you. How many people come to me and say, preacher, did you bury my grandma? Was she saved? Nope. I've had people come to me and tell me they knew they wasn't saved. They died drunk. Well, you can look at that and say, well, I ain't going to bury them. A bunch of drunks never came to church to support our church. But you know what? They knew where to come to. Could have went anywhere. They didn't go to the Masonic Lodge. They come to the local Baptist church. Amen. When somebody gets sick, who do they call? They call a preacher. They call one of the ladies in this church and say, would y'all send up a prayer? Wednesday night, my mama's sick, my brother's sick, my sister's sick, my daddy's sick. Brother, I'll tell you, it pays to serve God, and it pays in your community. People around you know that you serve God. Number four, I want to say it pays in your children. I was thinking about what Brother Griffiths was saying a while ago about it. I was thinking about his kids up here singing. With all your kids here tonight, all his kids here singing, what a blessing that is. I know a lot of preachers, their kids get up old enough to fly the coop and they take off. I was thinking yesterday, I'm just going to say a word about my kids. I'm doing the preaching, so I say what I want to. When you're preaching, you talk about what you want to. Amen? Fair enough? I was in my church yesterday sitting right there. My son's leading the choir. My other son's playing the piano. My daughter's singing in the choir. My wife's singing in the choir. My daughter's singing a special. My other son's singing a special. My son's playing the piano. There ain't no greater joy in this world. I'd rather see that than to see every one of them going to Hollywood and making a movie. The best part of it is when they're standing up there singing, great big old tears run down their face and bathe their face just about every time they sing. Tears drip off their face and drip onto the floor. And we have a work day at church and boys in there working. They're in there in their work clothes working and sweating. Working like dogs, working around the church, outside the church, building and working. And my dog, my whole family, here's what I'm saying. It pays to serve God. And it shows up in your family. It shows up in your children. Thank God sometimes it may seem like we ain't getting nowhere and we're spinning our wheels and we're just going around in circles chasing our tail. But thank God, I want to tell you, it does pay off to serve God. When my daughter graduated a couple weeks ago, I was telling Brother Jeff, when she took the stage, she graduated from a Christian school in the lower part of the state, down where all the mosquitoes and gnats are at. And when she took the stage, she was a valedictorian. She said a couple of comments about me, of course. Why wouldn't she? And she said something about a Christian mom and dad. But really, she talked about him. That's what she really talked about. And you know what? That made me proud, brother. I don't want to sit there and hear talk about me. People know what a heathen I am. They ain't so good up there telling a bunch of lies about me. Don't go up there and tell them who I am or about me. She got up there and talked about what God had done in her life. And she cut loose to singing that song. And brothers, nothing can make me prouder. Nothing can make me more proud than know that my daughter loves God and is serving Him. Listen, brother, it pays to serve God. It'll pay in your children. You raise them right. I told Brother Griffith today when we was talking about that. I said, brother, just what he said a while ago. I said, you know what? Sometimes it seems like none of them's getting it. But if just my kids get it, it's worth it. If just my kids get it, brother. If just my kids don't throw their life down the toilet. If just my kids get in and hang on for dear life and make it through this thing. It's worth it. It's worth what I'm doing. I tell you, preaching's hard work. Running up down the road and preaching the lungs out, it ain't easy. And just one or two get in, and especially if they're your own household, it's worth it. My kids gave me some gifts yesterday. Father's Day, I didn't feel worthy of it. Boy, I liked it though. Don't you like it, Brother Jeff? Well, I got one of them big old snap-on drills. Got that double trigger kind of deal, reverse, and all that junk and all them drills. Man, that's Sunday, and I was taking doors off the wall at home. Taking doors off, putting them back on. Drilling, I was looking for a piece of wood at church. There's ain't none. We had a homecoming. I was walking around, wanting to drill a hole in the wall somewhere. What's the preacher doing? But you know what? I don't think I'd be as good a daddy as they claim I am if I didn't have such good kids. It pays to serve God.
Amen.
Let me tell you this. Years ago when they were real little, my kids were real little, we put them in a Christian school. And we couldn't afford it either. We could not afford it. I don't know how we did that. Under the Lord, it was 35 or 40 miles one way. We drove them. We carpooled them, hitched rides with other people. Candace was K-3. And then all the boys, and had four kids in a Christian school. And couldn't afford to put one of them in. Put them all through. Went all the way through and graduated them. Got them all through the school. And I'll never forget, we had some kin people. Brother Jeff laughed at me. Thought we was crazy. You took the kids out of the school a mile away, and you're driving them 40 miles, paying all that money. My boys were in junior high. Mm-hmm. And after school, they empty trash cans and run the vacuums to knock off a little tuition. And that was right about the time Debbie started teaching. Amen? And them boys would run that vacuum every evening from about 2:30 to about 4, wasn't it? 4:30. Sometimes they had ball games. They'd do it till ball game time, run the concession. Do whatever it took, empty trash cans, go to the lunchroom to work every day, brother. Now that's demeaning work to a lot of people. But look at my boys today. And my daughter. And them same people left me, caught their girls in motels with grown men. Smoking dope and drinking liquor and smoking crack and all that other junk. You know what I'm trying to tell you? It ain't funny no more.
Yes, sir.
It ain't a big, fat, stinking joke anymore.
Right.
It pays to serve God.
Yes.
I look back now, I ain't got a whole lot. I ain't rich, I ain't wealthy. But you know what I'm trying to tell you? Brother, the greatest treasure I have, I can tell you, if they come walking through that door Friday night, that's the greatest wealth I have is my family.
Yes.
Amen? Everything I own could burn up in 30 minutes. The greatest thing I have is the investment I've made in my family. I want to say also that it pays to serve God. Number 6, in the condition of your body. Well, Proverbs 3:1 said, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean you'll live longer and live healthier if you live for the Lord. It's a proven fact. Everybody talks about being a rock star. The average lifespan of a rock star is 30. I believe it's 33, 34 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, rock stars don't make it to the nursing home. Just a few of them live to be old. That's just because they're pickled.
Yeah.
Rest of them, you know, get killed, overdose, choke on their own vomit, AIDS, all kinds of stuff like that. But what I'm telling you is, it's a proven fact. You can look it up on the internet yourself. I've looked it up. Researchers, they don't have nothing to do with the Bible or Christianity. I'm talking about general researchers from Harvard and different places. They say people that go to church and don't smoke and don't drink and don't party, go to bed at night, work hard, they live longer.
Amen.
People that go to church, pray regular, believe in the Bible, they live longer.
Thank God.
Huh. How do you figure that? It pays to serve God.
Amen.
You ever see that guy on the news? That guy does the news and he smuckers jail and they'll say, "Here is Emma Watson, 108 years old today. Emma says that her secret to living a ripe old age is clean living and hard work." And she goes to Sunday school every Sunday. Watch it and see if he don't say that. Willard Scott, he'll tell you that every time. He will. He's going to Sunday school every Sunday. Amen, brother. I'll tell you, it pays to serve God. Hey, even in your physical body. Hey, I run into a guy not too long ago. You say, "Preacher, you look pretty rough." I look good compared to the guys I used to run with.
All right. Amen. Sure.
People I used to run with. I know a guy that lives not too far from our church. He's my age. He looks 75. He stays drunk. He ain't drawn a sober breath in 20 years, probably. Sin will take a toll on you, kids. Oh yeah, you can party. I mean, it is fun. Sin's fun. I mean, I ain't gonna stand up here and lie to you. It is fun. But after a while, it quits being fun. And it's like a hook gets in a fish. But once you want to turn it loose, you can't turn loose. It's got you, buddy. You can't turn loose. It's got you. And it takes a miracle to get loose. And I want to say, last of all, it pays to serve God. I said, in your conscience, your countenance, your community, your children, and the condition of your physical body, and in the councils of eternity. One of these days, the Bible said, for God shall bring every work into judgment, whether every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And John said he saw the holy city coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for a husband. And God Himself is going to do what? Wipe the tears from our eyes.
Amen.
He's going to dwell with His people. He's going to put, what's that? Who was it? You used to preach that message, Payday Sunday?
Yeah.
I forget the guy's name. R.G. Lee? There's going to be a payday, brother.
Yeah.
It just may not seem like it right now. I remember when I was a young teenager working, going to work at a furniture factory on Monday and Tuesday, and watch the clock never moved.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful. You just stand there working in a furniture factory, you know, running a sander or something. That clock never moved. The payday never came, it didn't seem like. Payday come Friday, get your paycheck and blow it Saturday, before Saturday. And what I'm trying to say is, it does pay to serve God. All these things I mentioned, but even if none of those things were a factor, one of these days we're going to get to meet the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One of these days they're going to call your name out. Say, Mr. Jeff Griffith, it's your turn to come and meet. I don't know if it's going to happen this way or not, but I picture it this way. Mr. Griffith, it's your turn to meet the Lamb of God. Bring your crowns and your rewards and come before Him. And you have your opportunity to cast your crowns. And you know what? It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you this in closing. Before my mama died, mama was sick my whole life. She was sick. I remember when I was about 5 years old, we was in a grocery store. And mama just keeled over. Back in those days, it took them forever to diagnose you, figure out what was wrong with you. And mama had diabetes. It took them several years to figure out what was wrong with her. This is back in the 60s. She was sick her whole life. She had kidney failure and heart trouble. And finally she died in 97. When she went in the hospital the night before she died, I went to see her. And my daddy's a preacher, you know. Good old Baptist preacher out in the mountains of North Carolina. And she told me, she said, son, I want to tell you something. She said, I've been married to your daddy now for, I forgot, they was married 49 years. Raised 5 young'uns. She said, life hadn't been easy. And she said, your daddy worked and pastored a church and she said, I've been sick all these years. And she talked to me a little bit. And she said, your daddy's the only man that's ever laid a hand on me. She said, I've never kissed another man, never dated another boy. I don't know why she told me all that, but she's getting ready to die. And she said, here's what I'm going to tell you. She said, I ain't got no regrets.
Amen.
She said, we got saved in 1952 up in Lenoir, North Carolina, in a little old cabin. And she said, if I had it all to do over, son, she said, I wouldn't change a thing. She said, it's been worth it all. I tell you what, I come home that night. I was walking back that house of ground. I told Debbie, I said, Mama ain't coming home this time. I said, I'm going to go back and see her in the morning if she's still here. But you know what Mama was telling me? She was saying this. She was saying, son, it pays to serve God. In her way, she was trying to say, you know, my mama lived and died and probably never traveled 100 miles before she was born or a couple hundred miles. She never saw the ocean, never flew in an airplane, you know, never did a lot of things a lot of people count as greatness. But I'll tell you what my mama did do. Took a trip to Calvary. And I'll tell you something else mama did. Buddy, when that got on, mama kicked that piano stool about 4 foot backwards and shout all over the church. Amen.
Yes.
It pays to serve God. Let's all stand tonight with our heads bowed just for a minute.